Yes, so we are live. Hey guys, welcome to the Tech Geek podcast stream. And it is going to be great today because I have a great show put up for you. And let's just dive right in. Before I'm going to tell you guys, please join our Discord server. Join it right now and you can interact with me and many others. And it's going to be very, very good. So let's just dive right in. Okay, I'm not going to talk about Epic versus Apple today. I think that's all we have seen this whole week right now. And it is kind of bad and good in both situations for Epic and Apple. So let's start with something else. Let's start with BlackBerry. And BlackBerry phones are reportedly making a comeback. The last BlackBerry phone was the BlackBerry T2, which was, again, by my opinion, an amazing phone but very overpriced. And they couldn't just find their footing in this Android phone market. Now I think they are going to do that. They are coming out with their new phones with 5G capabilities and that very good physical keyboard in 2021. So I'm really excited for these phones as I think they are going to be great and they might be the turning point for BlackBerry. Who knows that BlackBerry will switch completely over to Android phones and leave their security thing because their security thing was a really good ecosystem they maintained. I don't remember. It was Titania. The name of that security software was known as Titan. I feel that they should focus less on Titan and go over to Android smartphones. I think that will be better for them, and it is going to be really, really, really cool. And I just can't stop thinking, what if BlackBerry makes Android smartphones with physical keyboards that are actually decently priced and have good hardware? It can be a very good scenario, and they might have a chance to battle with Apple, Samsung, and OnePlus, like the big boys table. Okay, so that was about BlackBerry. Now, let's not just jump into Apple and Epic again. I feel like we are taking this a long way now. Apple launched its floating store in Singapore and it is really interesting. I don't know why they had to do it in this COVID-19 pandemic that's going right now, but Apple has actually launched this floating store and this is the store right there. It is floating in the water and it is a fully fledged Apple store. There's going to be service and sales there. So I'm really excited for this thing and will it come in other countries as well? And let me just show you more pics of this thing. And this is like the close-up look of the store and it looks very, very unique. So let's just go into another picture. Yeah, this is what the store is going to look like. And as you can see in true Apple fashion, people need to take photos near the Apple store or something near to Apple. Okay, so let's go over that now and let's go into iPhones to be made in India. That's quite shocking to me right now because iPhones, only like the previous generation's iPhones were made in India. Not the newer generation one, and the iPhone 12, Apple's latest flagship iPhone, is to be made in India by the middle of 2021. So it's not going to be, immediately they're just going to make in India, but it's going to take some time and it is going to happen. Currently, even now, iPhone SE has been made in India from December. It's going to be made from December and it is going to be amazing. I have a thought that these iPhones can actually come at a better price to us, not just overpriced iPhones, 1 lakh, 1 lakh 10,000, 1 lakh 50,000. We might actually get reasonable iPhones from next year. And some people might even consider making, buying an iPhone. An average consumer might be thinking of buying an iPhone. And this iPhone 12 will be actually made by Apple's partner in India, which is Wistron from Bangalore. And they're already making the iPhone 11, the iPhone 10R, the iPhone 7, as well as the iPhone 6s they made in the past. And they are going to be making this phone in Bangalore. They actually started making iPhone models in May 2017, so it is quite old and it is well established, and there are not going to be any quality flaws. Like, if they are just porting over the parts and making them in India versus making them in USA in Apple's facilities. And there's a lot of news about iPhone SE right now, because iPhone SE had actually dropped in price because due to this. Okay, now that's done. But now I don't want to go into any other topic, but this is an issue I'm noticing currently with some phones, specifically Samsung phones. So let me just dive into that. I'm going to tell you the so let me tell you guys that every week in these live streams, I'm going to tell any other issue of an phone brand or a particular phone, any issues that are there in the company's way of doing things or the phone software or something like that. So today I'm going to tell you guys about Samsung and Samsung and Exynos. You might have seen people yell about these things, but and there's like a huge petition on the way to Samsung of this Exynos processors, because actually Samsung makes two variants of any phone they launch. In currently they are making four variants of any phone, but two variants normally. It's going to be a Snapdragon variant and an Exynos variant. Snapdragon variant almost goes in sale in US and other US, Canada and Mexico, in that Western regimes, whereas the Exynos variant goes in sale in India, UK and some other countries like that. But most of the countries ship with Exynos variants. And you might be like, they're flagship phones. Exynos, it's going to be good, right? There might not be that big of a compromise with Snapdragon. Well, that's not the case. With Exynos, you're getting way, way, lower speeds and a worse image processing sensor. It's just bad in the Exynos version. So let's take the example of the Note 20 Ultra. That's the reason I included this issue in this live stream, because the Note 20 Ultra was finally launched in India. I was thinking, oh, at least this time they will do something and change some things in the Indian variant. They'll give us a Snapdragon variant, because there's a whole petition for Samsung. But they just throughout the inferior Exynos still. Actually, Mr. Who's the Boss, the YouTuber, has made a pretty better, very better, plus, comparison of this. I don't have the pictures clicked in the environment here, so that's the reason I can't show you any comparison, but I will tell you some benchmarks. So in performance, Exynos and Snapdragon must be similar. Because you're paying that premium for a phone, they must be similar in performance. And when you run a first run of Geekbench, you see that Exynos is lower, but not quite a much. So it's going there. It's running smoothly, and there's no difference in day-to-day world usage. But there's another problem in Exynos. It heats much faster, and it thermal throttles a lot. So if you are playing something like COD Mobile on ultra max setting and max frame rate, you're getting 60 FPS constantly with very good details, 1080p and very good details. Both the processors are going to run that fine, but suddenly there's going to be a dip in performance in the Exynos, because it thermal throttles a lot. It gets harder. Like, so if you play 3 matches on COD Mobile in max and max settings, it's going to run perfectly fine. But after that 3 matches, you're going to see that the Exynos will drop to 30 FPS or sometimes 40, 50 FPS. And that can be really affecting because once you experience 60 FPS, there's no going back. I know that because I play PUBG on an iPad and it gives out constantly 60 FPS. But when I jump over to play on another device that can't push 60 FPS and that pushes around 40 to 50 FPS, I can't see myself, using that 40 to 50 FPS experience again. And it's going to make a lot of difference. And in this case, Samsung's case, Snapdragon runs constantly at 60 FPS because they have better thermals. They run much cooler than the Exynos variant. So, okay, Exynos is bad in performance. That's what we are compromising, right? No, that's not what you're compromising. You're also compromising the camera quality. You're paying 1 lakh for a phone. Like, 4 years back, that would be ridiculous at the one point, but you are paying 1 lakh for a phone and you can't get the best camera experience out of it. Shots taken are much more noticeably slower, and if you want to switch between the periscope and the wide angle and the main camera, good luck doing that because it's going to be really, really stuttery in the Exynos variant. I don't know why still Samsung does this. There's no reason to not include Snapdragon in Indian variants, but there is a good news in that point because the latest M51S from the smartphone, which I'm M51S smartphone, which I'm going to talk about later in the live stream, I is shipping with a Snapdragon 730G processor. It's great that Samsung is not using the same Exynos 9611 processor because they have been using that processor from 1.5 years, as I remember. All the M30 and M40 and the M51, all these phones actually had Exynos 9611, and their lower-end tablets, which are the S series lower-end tablets, also have the Exynos 9611. It's really a bad processor for gaming, and camera processing is much better on Snapdragon. So I wish Samsung would stop doing this, but we don't know when they will stop. So I think they're going to continue until this issue intensifies around and people are going to be angry on Samsung because you're not getting what you pay for. US people are paying the same amount of money if the cost is considered of the phone, like $1,400 and 1 lakh is not the same, but they're paying the same amount of different amounts of money, but same value for a phone. So if they buy a Samsung phone in the US, they're much benefited from that because that has a Snapdragon processor. And I don't know why Samsung does this. It's a really big issue, guys, and it's just unbearable right now. Exynos. This is done now, and let's get into the main topic of this live stream. Epic versus Apple. Don't know what to talk anymore. I don't feel like this is going anywhere right now, this Epic versus Apple comparison. Let me just show you. Now, Epic versus Apple, I told in the last live stream, so let me repeat it again. Apple charges a 30% tax on every in-app purchase made through their system, the in-app purchases system. Okay? So, Epic Games, which owns the app Fortnite and the game Fortnite, the game Fortnite from removed from Apple Store, App Store, as Epic had put a way in the App Store where they could sell the item for less than the in-app purchases system and get away with the whole cut for themselves. And Apple didn't like that, as usual, Apple's pathetic behavior. So Apple didn't like that, and Fortnite was removed from iOS and Mac. I don't know who's more affected here, Epic or Apple, but I can definitely say that the gamers are affected more than them. I think that Apple should be actually proud that they have this huge game called Fortnite on their App Store, and it's a real selling point for iPhones because every other Android phone out there plays Fortnite horribly. So, Fortnite was removed. Okay, they could negotiate and get it back, but no. Fortnite wants that 30% cut removed. Epic wants that 30% cut removed. And Epic's own company, like Epic's own games, the Unreal Engine games, actually have in-app purchases already in them. Like Unreal Engine game like PUBG already has in-app purchases system inbuilt, and they take the 30% tax from PUBG developers. Okay, let's just not get into it, and let's talk about what is going on with Epic right now. They just lost it right now, and Epic Games is running a free Fortnite Cup with anti-Apple prices. And if you remember in the last live stream, I showed you a video, a 1984 ad parody that Epic made, and in that there was this screen in which a guy was yelling at the soldiers, and that guy had a head of an apple with worms in it. So Epic Games is running a free Fortnite Cup with anti-Apple prices. That means that you are going to get that skin, that worm apple with worm skin, and then you are going to get a physical hat with free Fortnite on it and that rainbow apple logo. Let me just show you that rainbow apple logo. I don't have it. Yeah, this is that logo, the rainbow apple logo. And some, I think 1,200 devices to play Fortnite on. So let me just show you. It is giving various devices like OnePlus 8 Pro, Alienware gaming laptops, the top-end gaming laptops, and a Nintendo Switch, and a Mac, a PC, GeForce Now subscriptions, and a lot of things. Like a lot. Samsung's Galaxy Tab S7, yeah, you're going to get that as well. It's just weird. Why is Epic going against Apple? Epic should be proud that they have this whole ecosystem with Apple, and Apple should be proud that they have the one of the best games on the planet with them on their App Store. And they are not going through any negotiations right now. So let's see what happens now. And the next thing I wanted to show is that Microsoft, Facebook, and other media companies such as Spotify and Netflix have also joined the fight against Apple because they also take cut from the App Store. And if you know, Spotify had this long war between Apple that they wanted the 30% cut removed. And now they have the perfect opportunity as Epic, a big game developer, is going against Apple. And if they could just join it, it's going to get much better for them. Okay, so Spotify, Netflix, and Microsoft, Facebook, and other newspaper publishers have joined Epic to fight against Apple because they want that user base from iOS and Mac OS, but they don't want to pay that 30% cut. And Epic's judge, who is fighting the trial against Apple in the court, said that they're going to fight against the Unreal Engine, which is Epic's co-product, but not Fortnite. That's kind of weird, but also Apple told that every game with Unreal Engine is going to have some sort of threat right now, including one of the best games in the world, which is PUBG and Fortnite. So I don't know where this is going, but the people who are affected is us, the gamers, and the normal public who like to game on these mobiles. And one more thing to say on to this, the icing on the cake is that iPhones are selling on eBay with Fortnite pre-installed for ridiculous prices. Like the Apple iPhone 10, which launched at a price tag of $1,000, and you can get one for around $700, $800, or $900, so pre-owned. And that iPhone 10 is selling on eBay with Fortnite pre-installed at $10,000. Even though that Fortnite app is not going to get any updates, it's selling at that price. So if it's just like a novelty item, if Fortnite is removed from the App Store for a long time, it is like a novelty item. And it's just ridiculous how these guys are fighting. And one more thing to add on the fact. Let me just show you guys this. Epic actually sent an email to Apple before doing this thing of including the direct payment. So Epic actually sent this long email to them, and not Epic actually, but the CEO, who is Tim Sweeney, wrote this to Tim Cook, Phil Schiller, Craig Federighi, and Matt Fisher. And they wrote that all because of this 30% tax, we are increasing our prices, and consumers are not getting the actual value they should get for the items. These free games actually have a lot of profits because it is an in-game thing, and there's no extra purchase needed for the developer to implement it in the game. But there is some creative thing, and the merchandise managers for these companies. And for this, Apple actually gave a reply. Wow. So Apple gave a reply to the General Counsel of, sorry, to the General Counsel of Epic Games, the head of General Counsel, which is Cannon Pence. And they literally gave, the person who gave that reply was a person from Apple legal department. Think of this. A big company CEO writes another big company CEO and some important officials email, and how does Apple react to that? Legal department. And what they literally wrote is the terms and conditions of their 30% tax. As you can see, it's a very long email, and Vice President and Associate General Counsel, the person who wrote this. And now, Tim Sweeney again wrote an affair, sorry, an email that you guys have handed our email to Apple's legal team, which is weird, very, very weird, because a huge company CEO wrote that email. So that's really very weird in Apple's front. And Tim Sweeney actually wrote emails again and again that Epic will not follow your procedures and they will bypass that 30% cut. So Epic knew what it was getting into. It's not like, we'll remove that 30% cut, we can't get removed from the App Store. They knew what they were getting into. They knew that they were going to be removed from Google Play Store and App Store. It's just weird. Why would a company like this do this? And Apple wrote again an email to Tim's Epic Games team that the app is removed because it violated these guidelines of Apple in-app purchase and performance, blah blah blah. And they told that to get the app on the App Store again, they should push out an update removing all these things. And they should tell in the update log what actually we updated. I don't know if it's Apple's mistake or Epic's mistake at this point right now. I told you this is going to be a very long topic because it's like a never-ending argument between these two companies. And even the fact that this was going on, and Apple hit. Apple was the first company to hit $2 trillion in sales. Don't know what is Apple trying to do at this point right now. $2 trillion. They can't benefit from a small company like Epic in front of them. Epic is a huge company again, but in front of them, Epic is a small company. I don't know what are they going up against. Is it that Fortnite violated these laws, or a 30% cut has been removed, or the point that Epic Fortnite should not be on the App Store? There's no reason for that, but I don't know what is happening at this point between these two companies. So let's just clear up our minds and pretend that that never happened. Although that's the biggest thing right now, just pretend that that never happened. Okay, let's get into the next thing now, and leaks. We got a lot of leaks today for you guys. Let's talk about the Realme 7 Pro. And the Realme 7 series is launching on September 3rd, and I am excited about the Realme 7 because it has the Helio G95 processor. But the Realme 7 Pro is just a bad phone, according to the specs at least. That it's a bad phone because it is having the Snapdragon 720G processor, and it's not confirmed just yet, but there is a huge chance that it is going to have that processor. So I'm excited for the Realme 7. Let me just show you some quick specs of that device. Yeah, Realme 7. So it is reported to, all these are reported specs again. It is Realme 7 is reported to have a MediaTek Helio G95 processor with 5000 mAh battery and 30 watt fast charging, which is really fast. A 90 Hz IPS LCD screen with side-mounted fingerprint scanner expected. Then we have Realme 7 Pro, which has the Snapdragon 720G, same as the Redmi Note 9 Pro Max, and 4500 mAh battery with 65 watt charging. So you have a smaller battery, but a very fast charging speed. Then we have in-display fingerprint scanner, because finally in budget phones we are having a OLED 60 Hz display. I mean, Samsung already has this, but Samsung has never been the value king. Realme phones have been known for value before. And the camera should be 64 megapixel in both of the phones. Okay, that's done now. And Infinix's new phone has been launched. It's a really good phone again. This is the Infinix Zero X. I think this is the best phone that Infinix ever made, and I'm not joking right now. It has a Helio G92 processor, so nothing great there. It has an IPS LCD 90 Hz screen, nothing great there, and a average Joe camera spec setup, and a 5000 mAh battery. Nothing great in any of these things, but the price is below 20,000 rupees. That is really good because Infinix has never made a phone as good as a value in terms of processor at least than this phone. I'm really excited for its India launch, which will come soon, I guess. Okay, then the next one. I feel like Poco is literally dead right now because every phone it makes is like an average phone right now. The Poco X2 was great, but after that, every phone was like a meh phone. So the Poco X3 got leaked, and according to the rumor, it will look like this. It has a very weird camera setup. I don't know why they went this way. And it has this huge Poco branding, which I kind of like, by the way. I don't like the Realme X7's Dare to Live, but I think I like this Poco branding. And then the specs. So X3, Poco X3 is going to have mostly a September 8th launch event, a Snapdragon 732 processor, 120 Hz display with 240 Hz touch latency, an IPS display that's expected now. 5160 mAh battery, very huge, and a 33 W fast charging speeds, which is very, very good. And we have 64 MP quad camera setup and a 20 MP camera, front camera. And again, except the processor, this thing actually looks like an average mid-ranger to me. It isn't that great, except that 120 Hz display. But 90 Hz and 120 Hz doesn't have a lot of difference. So I'm not too excited for this phone. And at last, the Samsung M51S. Let me just show you guys that phone. This phone has been leaked several times, but this looks like this could be the closest we have gone to get this phone. It has almost the same design as the previous M-series phones, and that's not a bad thing either because I kind of like them, but polycarbonate back. I guess this is going to be a glass back, but I'm interested in that white color. I'm kind of digging it. So let's talk about the specs of this phone. The reported specs at least. 6.67-inch Super AMOLED display. You can't expect 90 Hz or 120 Hz from Samsung anytime soon in the mid-range space. That's kind of expected because their value for money of Samsung hasn't been that great. 64 MP camera, 12 MP wide camera, 5 MP depth, 5 MP macro, the average affair. Then we have a 32 MP front camera, which is by far, I guess, in the M series, the most, highest resolution camera, front camera. And then we have 7,000 mAh hour battery with 25 W fast charging. Okay, 25 W isn't fast. It's not that fast. It's fast, but it isn't as fast as the Realme phones or the Poco phones, but it's kind of impressive, I say. Not the charging speed, but the battery. 7,000 mAh. I'm really excited for this phone because of its battery capacity. I think that it's easily going to be a 2-day phone, and let's see what happens because this kind of battery has actually been, noticed in tablets more than phones. So I'm really, really excited for this phone because only because of its battery. Other specs, I don't care of them. Android 10, and even the size of this phone isn't too huge. Like 8.5 mm, it's not super thick. It's thick, but not super thick. It's kind of in the middle. Okay, so this is actually about the processor because other YouTubers and some people believe that the phone is going to come with Exynos processors, but people are still believing that it's going to be a Snapdragon 730G processor. And many people, most of them, I saw YouTubers and tech leakers, they also admitted that mostly it's going to be the Snapdragon 730G. That's why I'm excited for this phone because we are getting rid of Exynos after a long time in the M series phones, which is will be weird, but it is going to be really, really good. Okay, the last leak, it's not a smartphone, but kind of fun. So if you didn't know, Mi actually launched its toothbrush, electric toothbrush, like a few weeks back, a month back, I guess. And Realme's new toothbrush has been listed now. Why did I show this? Okay, it's a toothbrush. I can't expect anything from it, but an electric toothbrush. So let's just get rid of that. Let's talk about the launches that happened this week. And the first thing I'm going to talk about is finally, 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 we have the ASUS ZenFone 7. Just love this ZenFone 6, a huge value. And I feel like the Zenfone 7 is going to have a lot of value, but we don't know the exact pricing yet. It's been launched in Taiwan, but Taiwan pricing is always high in ASUS devices. So it just fixed all the flaws from the last year's model. It has an OLED display now, which is 90 hertz, a better flipping mechanism, and a third camera on the flipping mechanism. So the flipping mechanism is actually bigger. The A65 plus power processor, and let me just show you the bare specs of this one right here. Yeah. For the Pro, it's the 865 plus, but for the normal one, it's the 865, 64 megapixel camera, 12 megapixel wide, 8 megapixel telephoto, Python image battery, 30 watt fast charging, dual SIM, dedicated micro SD. The phone is kind of thick, by the way. It's a thick boy and it is heavy because of that whole mechanism that, but there is no IP rating or wireless charging now. I felt that they would do that because the OnePlus 8 Pro currently has them. So if they undercut the OnePlus 8 Pro and get this at a price of OnePlus 8, it's going to be a really, really interesting phone because many of the features are actually similar to the OnePlus 8 Pro, and many of them are similar to the OnePlus 8. Okay, then let's talk about the not so popular launches this week. Let me just show you guys. This is the Oppo A53. By going at the specs, you are like, that's a great phone. The specs they told at least. 90 Hz punch hole display, very good. 18 watt fast charging, very good. Python image battery, very good. 16 MP AI, artificial intelligence selfie, okay, still very good. But the processor, every time Oppo or Vivo makes a phone, it's almost perfect. It's just almost perfect. Then suddenly they come out with the processor, which is very bad. So the processor in this phone is a really fast one, which is the Snapdragon 460. I don't remember when I saw the last 4 series processor in a smartphone. I guess that would be the Redmi 7 series, I guess. Redmi 7A and the Red no Redmi 8A and the Redmi 8, not the 7A and the 7, but the 8A and the 8, which is the Snapdragon 439. This one, if you go into Qualcomm's website, you can see that this can only push 720p at 60 Hz properly, but Oppo just was like, we'll just bump up the speeds by increasing the clock speed and we'll turbo this processor, and they increase that to 90 Hz. I'm going to bet you guys that this processor isn't going to run 90 Hz properly as well. It doesn't have that horsepower. It only can run 60 Hz properly. And don't know why Oppo and Vivo still make these type of phones. So let's leave that there. And let's go into Nokia. Long time since Nokia has come back. But okay, at least it launched a phone after many days or many months. At least a phone is here for us to look at. Okay, it is the Nokia 5.3. A very good phone if you like Nokia, if you are a Nokia fanboy. When Nokia actually launched into that Android space, I was really, really excited for them, and my mind was blown that Nokia is coming into that Android space. And even my mother bought a Nokia 5 smartphone, and after a year and a half, it is just slow as hell. It is a really, really slow smartphone. So let's see what they did with the Nokia 5. Okay, let's not call that. That is a different one. The Nokia 5.3. It starts at 14,000 rupees for 464 GB. 6.5 inch HD plus display. I'm going to talk about this in another live stream because nowadays almost all of the manufacturers are giving HD plus displays in the 15,000 price range, which isn't good. Okay, just leave that now. That is for another episode. 13,999 rupees, 6.55 inch HD plus display, Snapdragon 665, 4000 mAh battery, 10 W charging. I don't know why they are still stuck at that. 13 plus 5 plus 2 plus 2 plus 2. 13 plus 5 plus 2 plus 2 plus 13 plus 5 plus 2 plus 2 camera setup and an 8 megapixel front camera. It isn't a bad phone especially, but the processor is bad, the charging is bad, the camera is bad. It's just that the phone doesn't look like a finished product. It looks like a half-baked phone. And that's the case with Nokia. Since their Nokia 5.1 and a Nokia 6.1 Plus launches, which were actually two good phones Nokia made in that Android space. Okay, that is done now. And the last thing we are going to talk about today is the Moto G9. And this is especially, I feel like, not the greatest value ever. But if you are into stock Android or non-Chinese phone, although this is a Chinese-owned company, Moto is a part of Lenovo now. But these phones are actually designed in Motorola's US headquarters, so that's different. Now the price starts at 11,499 rupees. You get the Snapdragon 662 processor, which is a new processor, and it's a pretty compelling one under 10K rupees. But this is 11,500 rupees. You get a 48 megapixel sensor, so that's better than Nokia 5.3. You get a HD plus display. I don't mind that at this price range because almost everyone is offering a HD plus display, and you get a fingerprint sensor on the back. And this is the design. This is the design, as you can see. Not a great phone either, but not a bad phone either. Actually, I was going to cover the Redmi 9, but that launched a little late, and I'm not going to cover it now, but we'll cover it in the next live stream. And that I felt was an okay phone. Not that great, but not that bad either, considering Realme's options. Okay, so I think we are done here. We are done here, guys, and it was a great week for tech this week, and I am really excited for the next week as well. And I will be back with better news and better content next week because there are pretty compelling launches the next week. And stay tuned for the next live stream. Subscribe the YouTube channel, like this video, and share it to many people, as many people as you can. And bye, guys. So I will end the live stream now, and thank you guys for your support.